Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Adam Dubin. So this week, in addition to a regular parsha of Parshas Truma, is also a special reading. We have a parsha Zachar, which Zachar is considered to be at least one of the, if not the only, parsha that you need to read, you need to hear as a biblical commandment at least once a year. You can't fulfill it by hearing Parsha Zachor on Shabbos. Then, hopefully, when the Parsha is read in Sefer Dvarim, where it typically is during the course of the year, if you have in mind to fulfill your biblical your deraisa commandment, biblical commandment to hear it, then you can. Of course, this stems from the fact that Parsha Zachor, in a nutshell, says that you should remember what Amalek did to you on the road on your way out of Mitzrayim. And you should remember what they did and obliterate the name of Amalek from existence, from the earth. But you should always remember them and not to forget. And the way that we read the Parshas Amalek, there's different customs involved, but to remember Zecher and Zecher, two different pronunciations, the word slightly different, but again, to remember, to obliterate the name from under, obliterate them physically from under Shemayim, that they shouldn't exist anymore, but to not forget them as well. And of course, we read Parsha Zachor, the Shabbos, every year before Purim. So this year, the Shabbos happens to be that it's almost a week before Purim, but it's the last Shabbos before Purim. Purim, of course, is on Thursday night and Friday this coming year. This coming week, which means that you have to fill all of your mitzvahs on a shorter time frame than in another year, because, of course, Shabbos, depending on where you are, I know where I live, Shabbos is coming in almost around 5 o'clock, a little after 5 o'clock, so it's a relatively short day to do all the mitzvahs, including having a Purim Suda that's going to finish in time so that you're not going to go into Shabbos full. That's a separate story, halacha, about not going to Shabbos full. You shouldn't end up to wash too close to Shabbos, and that's perhaps for a different time. But again, this week we do read Parsha Zachor in addition to the regular Parsha Truma. Now, Parsha Truma, of course, I should mention also before I forget that this week learning, once again, is Refuah Shlema, Dr. Zev Zelenko, that's Zev Ben Leah, as well as anyone else who needs to have a Refuah. So again, this week's regular Parshas Truma. And Parshas Truma, the Bnei Yisrael are called upon to start the construction of gathering materials for the construction of the Mishkan, and that is the tabernacle, the Mishkan, as well as all the kalim, all the vessels that will be used within it. In fact, the pasuk in the first Aliyah, it's Perek Chaf Gimel, pasuk Ches, says, "V'asu li mikdash v'shechanti v'soichem," that you should make for me a sanctuary, a dwelling place, and I will dwell among them. And Rashi and other Mefarshim explain that it should be a place for my sake, a house of Kedusha, and understood to me that it should make a dwelling place, a physical place here in the world, and I shall dwell amongst them. Hasidus and Kabbalah tend to teach that this means not that it's just referring to the physical building, so to speak, but that you should make for yourself, that should be a dwelling place for Hashem. You should allow Hashem into your life in a more revealed way. So, again, we learn about from the very beginning of the Parsha, the first Aliyah, the different pieces that are involved, starting to understand what the pieces involved in building the Mishkan are, the different kinds of stones, the different the wood, other materials. We learn very detailed aspects of architecture that perhaps if you're not an architect, you might not get so much, you might not understand so much relevance or meaning from it, at least on a simple pshat level, but there are many lessons that we can learn. So one of the many lessons we can learn is that the Mishkan was built and its vessels, or most of them, were in whole numbers. For example, the Aron Kodesh is Chamesh Amos by Chamesh Amos, and it's three Amos high, that's 5 by 5 by 3, but the Aron, that's a Mizbeach, but the Aron Kodesh that held the Luchos, was made up of numbers that were not whole. The Pasuk says, this is still in the first Aliyah, it's Perek Chaf Hei Pasuk Yod, V'asu Aron Atei Shittim Amisayim V'chetzir Arko V'amo V'chetzir Rachpo V'amo V'chetzir Kamoso, that they should build for me an ark of a pine wood that should be 2.5 cubits tall, long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. And again, they're not whole numbers. We might call them perhaps broken numbers. In fact, the Shlach HaKodesh explains that the Aron HaKodesh would contain the Luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from Har Sinai. As a reminder of the bris, the covenant that occurred, of the Torah between Hashem and the Bnei Yisrael. And the Aron is analogous to a Talmid Chacham, a Torah scholar, who carries the Torah with him. And the broken numbers, so to speak, of the Aron HaKodesh's measurement remind us that just as the Talmud Chacham must remain humble and avoid becoming arrogant, we also see that the first set of Luchos that were made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself were also broken, and they were considered to be on a higher level of Kedusha, holier, than the second unbroken set, because the first set were fashioned directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Midrashim explain that you could read the words from all different sides, and it's chiseled through that so to speak, you could see through from one side to the other, miraculously, if you ever notice chiseling through stone, you're going to make letters that there should be holes. Certain things, they shouldn't be able to have floating objects, but alpines, through a miracle, you could see, read directly, not just that all of the words of the Aseret HaDibros were written on each side, but you could read through them, none of the pieces, anything fell, lots of nisim involved, the very high level of Kedusha, the first set of Luchos. Second set, of course, after Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the first set of Luchos, from coming down and finding the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu goes back up, and this time he chisels out the second set of Luchos, that of course remain unbroken. The Gemara Maseches Chulin in Daf the Pei Tes Amon Aleph teaches us that specifically the trait of humility of Anivas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu favors in Bnei Yisrael. Hashem said to the Bnei Yisrael, "My children, I desire you because even when I grant you greatness, you diminish yourselves before me. I gave you greatness, to Avram Avinu, and he said, 'I'm only dust and ashes.'" We see this in Bereishis. "I gave greatness to Moshe and Aaron, and they said, 'Who, what are we?'" This we see in Shmos. "And I gave greatness to David, and he said, 'I'm a worm and not a man.'" This we see in Sefer Tehillim. The Mesillas Yesharim, which is a guidebook to internal spiritual work, lists a number of important midos that we all need to work on. Then this book progresses from one level to another and explains how to achieve each stage. Humility is presented as one of the highest levels that we can reach. And we see also that Moshe Rabbeinu was considered to be the greatest leader that Bnei Israel ever had, and he was also the biggest anav, the most humble person who ever lived and ever will live. Perhaps this is because it's precisely these people who are humble who have climbed so high that they're at the most risk of arrogance and pride. Mesillas Yesharim, by the way, was written by Chaim Luzzatto, Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, but also provides a practical example of how to achieve this humility. An intelligent person needs to acknowledge that their intelligence is just a part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu given nature. It was given to them by Hashem, but it's part of their God-given nature. It's a gift bestowed by Hashem that can be taken away at any time. Therefore, conceit and haughtiness are not rational. The one who is a wise person has an obligation to use his or her wisdom to help others. As with any other bracha that Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us, being arrogant is simply foolishness and represents a failure to recognize a Kodesh Baruch Hu's hand that's in control. There's a story told of a courier that was delivering cargo of precious jewels. He proudly showed off his wealth to his family and friends. Obviously, this courier was acting foolishly because he and everyone else knows that precious jewels don't belong to him. He's merely been entrusted with them, given the task to deliver them from one place to another. So, too, we have been entrusted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our positive midos, our positive attributes, and instructed to use them for our life's purpose. On the other hand, the Gemara in Maseches Brachos and Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis teaches us that everything is in the hands of Shemayim except for Yir Shemayim. That everything is in the hands of heaven except for fear or awe of heaven. The only thing that's in our control is our Yir Shemayim, our awe or fear of Hashem. Working to increase our Yir Shemayim is something that truly belongs to us and is something that we can feel proud of. To achieve humility, says the Mesillas Yesharim, also recommends being averse to positions of authority. We also see this in Pirkei Avos, always showing respect to other people, but fleeing from honor ourselves. The story is told of a man who went to his Rebbe and asked a question. We learn in the Gemara Maseches Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, that one who pursues honor should flee from him. One who flees from honor will pursue him. I've been fleeing from honor for years and I'm still not receiving it. Why not? His Rebbe answered, because while you're fleeing from the kavod, the honor, you're too busy looking over your shoulder to see if it's following you. Genuine anivus, genuine humility, can be difficult to achieve. Some people take pride in how humble they think they are. It's like the old joke about a man sitting in shul and trying to work on his anivus. He would clap al chet, beat his chest over and over again. I'm nothing. I'm a worm. I'm lower than dirt. Another man noticed what he was doing and thought this was a good idea, so he sat down next to the first one and began to join in. The first man looked at the second man with disdain and disgust and said to him, "Who do you think you are, thinking that you're nothing?" Finally, the Mesillas Yesharim teaches us that the best way to achieve anivus is to take a cold, hard look at ourselves and at our flaws. Honest reflection will reveal that we have to be humble, what we need to be humble about. Of course, when looking at others, we need to take the opposite approach and overlook their flaws and give them benefit of the doubt. Our egos encourage us to be gentle and understanding when it comes to ourselves and get critical of others, but the truly humble person will be the one to switch these two around. So something that we can try to think about and do is reflect on what we feel proud of in ourselves and then practice one or more of the Mesillas Yesharim's tips to conquer this arrogance and increase in our humility. Remembering that the only thing we can truly claim credit for is our Yir Shemayim, and of course, if we're truly mevatel to ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can even say that's not really for us to do either, but it's for us to strive for. And to recognize that our strength is simply, anything we have is simply a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and should be used properly, it could also be taken away from us at any time, whether it is something physical, such as, again, wealth, something metaphysical, perhaps we can think of like power, whatever that really truly means, or our health, our wealth, anything can be taken away from us. Hashem gives it to us, Hashem can take it away. unfortunately, we've known over the past year, and depending on where you are in the world, where you are in the country, really we're seeing, you know, that we're coming up on, say, the one-year anniversary of the global pandemic, of the COVID pandemic that's really been affecting everyone. We had many, many healthy, otherwise healthy people who have become very sick, and Rahman al-Islam, many people who have succumbed to the illness. And we know that Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives us our judgment for what the year is going to be, but we can also recognize, perhaps more so, think about that over the past year, and at least where I live, my shul was open Shabbos Parsha Zachor last year, but I know other shuls only a few miles away were already closed. That the COVID pandemic had already started to come creeping in with not really an understanding about how to treat it. People were getting sick and dying already in other parts of the world. But we could take a look back over the past year and see all the things we thought that we ended up to need, all the things that we thought that we had, but taken away, whether it was the ability to daven with a minyan in shul, whether it was our parnasa. Unfortunately, many people have not been able to maintain a parnasa over the past year. Our children's education, you know, Zoom school, so to speak, is not nearly the same as in-person learning, in-person classes. So many things that we thought we couldn't live without, we learned to cope with. But we also know that it's not the way it's supposed to be, based off of what we come to expect, what we know from our previous experiences. But when we take a look back at it, we see, but really, everything we had, we only had because Hashem gave it to us, and everything that we no longer have is because Hashem took it away. There's so many lessons that we can think of for ourselves, but again, to try to think about not to put on other people, but whether it's using the Mesillas Yesharim as a guide or any other sefer of Musar or Chassidus, to really understand, to our part, to understand where we fit into the world. And hopefully by doing so, we're able to see how broken we are, but that's okay. It's okay to be broken, just like we don't want. Again, we're comparing the brokenness, so to speak, of the measurement of the Aron Kodesh to see that it's a sign of humility, just to be humble. Mirat Hashem, by doing so, by looking, taking a close look at ourselves with a critical eye to ourselves and trying to improve upon the things that we see we need improvement with, whether it's helping each other more, doing more mitzvahs, learning more Torah, just trying to connect closer to Hashem, but above all, letting our anivas guide us along the way, recognizing that everything comes from Hashem. Hopefully by doing so, Hashem is going to grant us not only a Yeshua from this terrible magefa of the pandemic, but also that he should grant us the full, final, and complete redemption, the Gula Shlema. May it be speedily. I wish everyone a good Shabbos, and once again, a Frelich and Shabbos Parshas Zachar, and Mirat Hashem, I'll speak with you next week. Zayge Benchit.